Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, March 13th. I'm Ray Graff.
And I'm Jackie Orchard. On this special Irish Foods edition of the show, we welcome the Executive Director of Albany's Irish American Heritage Museum, Elizabeth Stack from Ireland's County Kerry, and Caroline Stark, a volunteer at the museum from County Derry.
So we have a Stack from Kerry and a Stark from Derry. Yeah, this is going to work out really well.
It's going to be good.
Let's draw a Guinness and talk about this. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551.
That's right. You can also email voxpop at wamc.org, but that number again is 1-800-348-2551.
Irish food and your calls coming up on Food Friday after the news. Oh, hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff.
And I'm Jackie Orchard. On this special Irish Foods edition of the show, we welcome the Executive Director of Albany's Irish American Heritage Museum, Elizabeth Stack from Ireland's County Kerry, and Caroline Stark, a volunteer at the museum from County Derry.
Hang on, let me write that down.
I think this Kerry, Derry, Stack, and Stark.
A lot could go wrong.
I think they're teasing us. This is all made up.
The number to call here on this Irish Foods edition of Food Friday is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And you can tweet us, I guess, right? WMC Voxpa?
Yeah. Definitely. You can also tweet us.
Email voxpop at wamc.org if you wish. Elizabeth and Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
And you've heard this travesty before, right?
We have.
Okay. Many times.
We'll shoot the breeze a bit, and then we'll take some calls. It'll be fun, in theory.
And we will eat.
Yes.
Tell us what we're eating today.
So today we brought a selection of breads. You know, it's been a busy month, as you can imagine, at the museum. We moved, and March is, of course, the high holy month for Irish American heritage. So we did not have a whole pile of time to cook, and I probably should have gotten a restaurant involved, you know.
but, no, that's fine.
No, she brought a lot of food. Yeah. Don't listen to her.
So we made shepherd's pie, which is beautiful, and we'll talk about that. And then fruit scones, which are kind of a white bread, and then a traditional Irish brown bread.
All right. The number here is 800-348-2551. Before we get to more detail about the food and the phone call, I want to know more about the Irish American Heritage Museum. This is new to me.
Well, so we were founded in 1986, funnily enough, but down in East Durham originally. Mm-hmm. So we moved to Albany about 9 years ago. We were actually in the Nipper building for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we moved to Broadway. And then just 2 weeks ago, we moved to our current location at Quackenbush Square in Albany. So we're delighted. You know, it's a much bigger facility. It's a proper sort of museum. You know, we have a theatre, we have a gallery, we have the museum itself, we have a research library for our members, and we have a genealogist who comes once a month. So we do about 10 events. You know, we have political or historical or literary lectures. We have music the first Thursday of every month. We have traditional Irish music, and these are free and open to the public generally. You know, sometimes we have to charge, but
all right, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. I have actually.
You were there.
I was there. Yeah. I went to the soft opening, and can we talk about the musicians?
We can.
Okay, tell us the names of the instruments because they sound so wonderful together.
Yeah, so we had Coltas, Coulthoury Éireann, which is an international group that are dedicated to kind of preserving and passing on Irish music. So we had a fiddle or violin, of course, a flute, a penny whistle or a tin whistle. We had a bawron, which is the Irish traditional drum. It's made of stretched goat skin, and it's kind of a, you know, elemental or primal sort of feeling when you hear it, you know. We did not have any Illan pipes, but we had, I think, a guitar maybe, or a bouzouki too?
And an accordion.
An accordion. So Noel is from Ireland too. He plays the accordion. Mm-hmm. So every, you know, month we could have up to 18 musicians with different. We have a guy who plays the bouzouki. There's a couple of guitarists. We sometimes have, I think we've had a keyboard one time, you know, but yeah, so it depends.
Mm-hmm. Do either of you play instruments?
The piano,
no.
Beaten into me.
Caroline.
We are here with Elizabeth Stack and Caroline Stark from the Irish American Heritage Museum. Now, Before we get into the calls and before we get into the food, let's talk about accents here. We have Elizabeth Stack from County Kerry. You're going to speak first.
Okay.
And then Caroline Stark from County Derry. You will say the same phrase and then we're going to compare accents.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, hello, I'm from Ireland.
Hello, I'm from Ireland.
Oh, they do sound different.
You see?
Yeah.
You see what you've got to
say.
Hi now, brown cow.
Oh, yeah. How now, brown cow.
Okay. All right. So there's some fights usually around the museum about this?
No. You know, she's... the six counties, of course, is a problematic, you know, problem for Irish people. So Caroline, you know, is from Derry. So that should tell you sort of where her stance is ideologically, you know.
She's a Derry girl.
Yeah. I'm Derry girl.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland.
So, yeah. So, you know, with Brexit and all of that, it's, you know, a complicated time in Irish history, but no, I understand her accent and she understands mine, so that's good.
Very good indeed. Well, you know, it's funny, Jackie Orchard and Jim Lavoulis are from Western New York, and they talk entirely differently than normal people.
We don't really hear it until we really hear it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny how the breadth of accents, you know, in every country is so different, yeah.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Tell you what, let's take a couple of calls, we'll take a break, and then we'll taste some food.
Yes, the food.
Hey. Ellen in Ballston Lake, you're on.
Oh, hello. I'm so glad that you're doing this.
We are too.
My ex-husband's grandmother used to make the most delicious soda bread, and it just doesn't taste like the soda bread you pick up in the store.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, what's the trick? And she had a very Gaelic accent. You could barely understand her, but... She came here to America through Ellis Isle, and she just wanted to pass on every little bit of the history. But I never got her soda bread recipe.
Oh, well, so traditional soda bread, and hello, Ellen, how are you? traditional soda bread really just has four ingredients. It's salt, soda, baking soda, buttermilk and flour. I would say, to be honest, one of the biggest differences is probably the flour. You know, we had mainly one company in Ireland called Odlums. They're a huge company. So I think that might change the taste. Our buttermilk, it has more butter in it than, you know, the buttermilk here. So actually Harold Coulter's, our chef, melts about 2 tablespoons of butter and puts it into the buttermilk, you know, so it's more creamy. And of course, we don't use raisins traditionally in Ireland. So maybe your grandmother didn't either, you know, it was just plain white bread. Yeah. I prefer it without raisins, I have to say.
Well, this brings up a great point. Ellen, thank you for the call. You know, St. Patrick's Day, Americans eat the corned beef and cabbage and yada, yada, yada. This isn't necessarily what you would have over across the pond, eh?
Yeah.
No.
Neither of us had ever had corned beef until we came to America. We use bacon and cabbage.
Yes.
So you boil I don't even know what cut. Is that the collar of the ham or something?
I don't know.
Or the butt, yeah.
It's a thick bacon.
It's thick, yeah, exactly. So you have to soak it a little bit because it's quite salty and throw out, you know, the first boil. But it's really delicious, you know, with the cabbage especially, yeah.
Now, are there any foods that you can get in County Kerry but not County Derry or vice versa? Is there anything that those areas are known for?
The north is known for its farrels. Like, we can kind of get
farrels?
Them down. Yeah.
We don't get them?
Not as much.
The what now?
Farrels.
We're sitting here lost.
So that's a bread. It's a type of flat bread.
Like a griddle kind of bread.
Yes.
Yeah. They serve it with breakfast, you know.
Like
so
a pancake?
Mm-hmm. Sort of, like a fat, like, you know, and tougher pancake.
Yeah.
It's lovely. I'm making it sound horrible. It is lovely.
A hearty pancake.
Yeah, a thick, tough pancake.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
The number is 800-348-2551 if you want to call in. It's Irish Food Today. We have Elizabeth Stack from County Kerry, Caroline Stark from County Derry. Is that correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes?
All right, my scorecard is correct.
He's doing well.
Yeah. Let's take another call. And George in Swanton. George, you're on.
Hi. I got a question about a recipe that my mother got a couple of years ago. She was working with somebody who was Irish, and it was called, I believe it was Rumble D Chump. And it was like mashed potatoes and cabbage and like some onions and I think cheese.
Yeah. So we call that Col Cannon. And you make it with leftovers. Yeah. I mean, it could be with fish, but this is a great dish for St. Patrick's Day. You know, your leftovers the next day. So you've got leftover mashed potato and cabbage, and sometimes people put onion, as you say, and you just saute it in the pan with some butter and then melt cheese on top. It's delicious.
Mm, that sounds good. Did you bring any of that?
No. Okay. I know, yeah. You know, if I had to boil cabbage, I would cry.
There you go. No, that's real good. Bring some of that next time.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, that's great. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, George. The number here is 800-348-2551. Rumble de Chump. You know, I had that came in for me in the third race at Belmont one time.
That's what it sounds like, Rumpelstiltskin.
A fine horse. What else did we bring today?
So we brought some fruit scones, which this is where we would put the fruit into. So it's a little white scone or scone, depending on, you know, how you pronounce. And this is,
I
say scone.
Okay. Do you? Mm. Oh, yeah.
All right. You say scone?
We say scone. Let's call the whole thing off. Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
Right.
So, yeah, these are nice. Like, they're a little bit sweeter. You know, you'd have them with tea, maybe with breakfast, but I mean afternoon tea or a snack. My granny used to give us 11s, you know, as a little mid-morning snack. So the bread in Ireland traditionally does not have raisins because it's savoury, not sweet. You know, you eat it with your soup or with whatever. But so the scones are a little bit sweeter.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jack?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything with Kerrygold, right?
I'll tell you what, let's take a break because I don't think Jackie can speak at the moment. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Food Friday, Irish Food Today. Caroline Stark and Elizabeth Stack, and your calls coming up. Welcome back to Vox Pop Food Friday. Ray Graff here along with Jackie Orchard. It's Irish Food Today on our Food Friday program. We have Elizabeth Stack of the Irish American Heritage Museum. You're the executive director, right?
I am. That's right.
How long have you been there?
Almost 2 years, so I can't call myself new anymore.
Are you enjoying it?
I am. I'm loving it. You know, it was a great time for the museum, really, with this new move, you know, and there had been, you know, the previous director had left a few months before I started, so it was kind of hit the ground running. And I used to teach down at Fordham University, so it's a different, you know.
A little different, yeah. I would say so.
Yeah. But I'm loving it. You know, the public education aspect is great, and I still get to write and research and talk. So
what did you teach at Fordham?
Irish-American history and Irish, yeah.
Oh, perfect. Mm-hmm.
So it was great.
Mm-hmm. Now, we also have Caroline Stark here, who is a volunteer at the museum. What do you do over there?
I work one day a week at the gift shop and welcome people when they come in and, you know, see what they want to look at. And
Does anybody say, gosh, you don't sound the same. Where are you from, lady?
I know. They do. They do. Yeah.
I thought you were both from Minnesota.
I know. The freckles gave it away.
You see? 800-348, the telephone number. And there's some more bread here as well, right?
Yes. So we did bring in the white is kind of traditional soda bread. And then this brown one is the more traditional Irish bread, which is what you would get actually if you visited Ireland. You know, a lot of people in America have not tasted this because we don't really make it over here. So almost every pub and restaurant in Ireland gives you brown bread, you know, with soup, or if they bring a bread basket to the table, you'll have some brown bread.
Now, over in Ireland, I mean, do you traditionally put butter on the bread?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We ought to try that sometime.
I know, yeah. We forgot to bring the butter, is what he's discreetly telling you.
Yeah. Just a word to our producer, Jackie Orchard.
What? It's my fault?
Well, butter is expired, you know.
Yeah.
I'm bringing butter to work every day from now on.
Good. Our butter expired in May of 2019.
Now,
yeah, very good. When we're locked down on the coronavirus here in a couple of weeks, we'll be eating
butter.
That butter.
Yes.
Well, anyway, our number here is 800-348-2551. What are you eating now, Jackie?
This is the white soda bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one, I think, has caraway seeds in it, which again is not traditional. You know, people put that in over here. And I should say Harold Qualters, the guy, Mr. Soda Bread, as he's known in the museum, he was a chef here in Albany and kind of runs, you know, our food element. He said that soda bread or soda, baking soda, was invented in America, you know, in the very late 1700s, early 1800s. So it was brought back to Ireland then. So obviously most Irish bread would have been made with yeast, you know, back in the day. So the soda bread is really probably an Irish-American invention that then got shipped home to Ireland rather than the other way around, you know.
I'm guessing you have quite a bit of family still over over the pond?
Yeah, all of mine are over there. Yeah. Oh, I have a sister in California. I forgot.
Are they okay with you and your sister being over in the States?
They are. You know, my uncle lives in the Bronx too, and I have a cousin down there. And so my mom's sister is in North Dakota, which is not a hugely popular Irish destination, you can imagine.
Interesting. Although you can grow potatoes.
You can. Yeah. They're very good for their potatoes, yeah. Which is our second favorite dish.
How about you, Caroline? You have family across the pond?
Yes, most of my family's still in Derry. Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been over here?
36 years.
You live in the Albany area all
yes.
that time?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
strong Irish American population out here.
Yes, mm-hmm. very.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm sure you've seen some of my neighbors hanging around the museum.
Yeah,
they had a couple and they hang around.
Yeah.
Number here is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday, Irish food today. Let's go to Larry in Ulster County. Hello, Larry.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good.
I'm curious as to the proportions of the bacon and the cabbage.
Okay.
You know, how many kilos of each and the method that you use to produce it and if there are any other spices in it.
Ooh. So, you know, traditionally there would not have been any other spices. Bacon is so salty by itself, you know, that. So my mom makes it. She soaks the bacon often overnight and then throws that water out so it will have kind of removed some of the bacon. And often, too, she would throw out the first boil. So you'll boil it and then throw it. And then she puts the cabbage into the same pot. Most people do. Now, in some parts of Ireland, they also put turnip or like rutabaga.
We did.
Did you? Mm-hmm. In the north.
In
yeah.
the north.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would not do that. And then, you know, you boil your potatoes.
And the relative proportions? How much of each?
The bacon, I don't know kilos. It's like... It's a big cut of meat, I would say. It's like a joint, you know, of meat and then a head of cabbage. So you would just cut off the big thick thing at the bottom of the cabbage and then like separate the leaves, you know. And but don't overboil the cabbage. I think that's where most people go wrong, you know, that the cabbage is wilted and horrible. Now that we've gotten fancy in Ireland, though, with, you know, farm to table and organic food and all this, some people do put a little bit of fennel seeds on their cabbage, which is actually quite nice.
Okay.
But to be plain, you know, it's a plain dish.
All right.
So would you estimate like 10 minutes of boiling? Enough? Or
I'd say it would still take about 25 minutes with the cabbage. You know, like I will say like my mother likes to boil things to death. So, you know, the cabbage water comes out green. God bless her. You know, she can't hear it. She's in Ireland. It's all right.
Right.
So I would like 25, 30 minutes for boiling the cabbage, do you think is plenty?
Probably. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the whole pot with the bacon and everything, the same amount?
No, so the bacon will take, like you'll have that for a good 45 minutes on its own first, throw out that boil, then add the cabbage.
Okay.
Depending on what size of the, I was saying I don't even know, because we just call it boiling bacon, so I don't know what the cut is. But depending on the weight, your butcher might be able to help you with that. Like, you know, you can't undercook.
Is it like a fist-sized piece? Or
yeah, like a good fist size, maybe two of a woman's fists, you know, like it's big.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Larry.
I'd say about a pound and a half.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Just like you overcook the bacon, I would say. Don't get salmonella or whatever you get from raw pork.
Right.
You know?
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Trichinosis.
Okay. Yeah.
Old school.
It's not smoked bacon. It's raw bacon.
Yeah. Exactly. Not smoked. That would kill you. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Larry, thanks a lot for the call. You boil the bacon. This to me is just I can't understand.
Oh, it's delicious.
Really?
Yeah. It's delicious.
Well, we would fry it then. We put it in the frying pan and fry the bacon and then fry the cabbage in the bacon fat. We did years ago. We don't do that anymore.
Have you two ever met each other before? Because Elizabeth, you look a little surprised by all this.
Well, is that for the big dinner, like, or just
yes,
with the leftovers?
Yes, for the big dinner. No, for the big dinner.
Gotcha. I know, that's too much effort. You know, boiling, then frying, then, you know, you just serve it right out of the dish.
to me, you know, I do like my bacon, but frying sounds to me the way to go.
Oh, it's delicious. And I would say bacon grease is fantastic.
Oh, bacon grease
is
great.
My
gosh. Oh, yeah.
And the cabbage cooked in the bacon grease and the turnip then and the bacon
turnip,
grease as well.
What have we here, Jackie?
Oh, this is a shepherd's pie.
This is beautiful.
It
well
is
done.
It is beautiful, yeah.
All right. Are you guys going to have some?
Well, we'll see. You know, let you taste it first. So this is now shepherd's pie. traditionally and officially should be made with lamb.
Right.
But I could not find minced lamb. I think Americans don't like lamb, really. I'll just throw that out there.
You know, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
I was talking to an Irish-American friend of mine whose name we won't mention here, but he works here. He's very tall.
Okay.
And he's gone to Ireland recently and had rather a bad spill. But he's not that fond of lamb, and I was very surprised. I thought that was the thing to have.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, God, Irish
people love
it.
It's very popular in Ireland. Yeah. Very, very popular. Mm-hmm. Lamb.
Lamb chops and roast lamb. You know, I think the Americans that I've spoken to say that it's too gamey kind of for them.
That's what my husband says. It's too gamey.
I love it. So, you know, this is minced beef and just very simple, the packet of frozen, you know, carrots and peas because they're already cut up, an onion. Sometimes you would put garlic. Like, Irish people are not known for their, you know, masses of spices and flavors.
Yeah.
But even without the garlic, it's lovely. Sometimes I cheat and put in a little bit of curry powder, but my mother hates when I do that. So I did not do that today. And a little bit of tomato puree, maybe. I don't know what that's called. Is it Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire sauce?
Yeah.
We say Worcestershire.
You know,
Worcestershire, yeah.
Or like Yorkshire relish, something like that. Just a little tang, you know, to give it a... And but, you know, we make it with gravy or with oxtail soup. You know, it's a stew, basically. And then you top it with mashed potato and cheese on top.
Did you say oxtail soup?
Have you not had oxtail soup?
No, what is this?
Oh, my gosh, it's great. And it's a rarity around here.
Ray knows.
Well, you tell her about oxtail soup.
Oh, so, to be honest, I'm talking about the packet stuff.
You know? Oh, okay. I've had the real thing, and it's outrageous.
I presume it is the tail of an ox, is it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, oh, so you don't, this isn't a thing you have
no.
up Ireland way?
They
do
eat
tongue
and stuff
Ireland.
At home. We do, but like
but
I would.
Cans, yeah. Tons.
Oh, exactly. Cans of it.
Yeah.
We have the tomato soup over here. Same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jackie?
Well, I think I did not microwave it enough.
Oh, sugar.
And that's my fault. And I will put it back in.
Okay.
But
no, it's delicious.
For a medium warm meal, it's still like the best thing I've eaten.
It's nice, yeah.
It's very good.
I find it just like comfort food, you know.
What things could you eat over there or get readily that you cannot get over here?
The thing I miss the most, I have to say, is chowder. I know that
we
there's
have all
New
kinds
England.
Of great chowder.
Yeah, no, it's not great. None of it
have
is good.
Have you been to Maine, Elizabeth?
I know. Yeah. I haven't. Actually,
is
one thing.
Chowder in Ireland.
Our chowder at home is delicious.
Okay.
So it's usually cream, you know, kind of based, a little bit of potato and carrot and celery, and then mussels and maybe a smoked fish. Delicious. It's the cream. You know.
All right, Elizabeth and Caroline, now I'm inviting, now I have a big family. I'm inviting you both to come to Maine with us this summer. And you can try the chowder because that chowder is great stuff.
Oh, I nearly wept the first time I had, like, is Boston chowder the white one or the red one?
New England.
Yeah, Manhattan is the red one.
Yeah, both of them are horrible. But the first time I had the white one, I nearly cried. You know, I'm sorry, America.
I know. Throwing shade in America.
Yeah, I did. It was a can. I won't say what brand, you know. But I opened this can of Boston chowder. I was like, oh my God, this was terrible. Yeah,
that is.
You can get some good New England clam chowder.
Can you,
Caroline? Oh, yes. Caroline, you say chowder.
Chowder.
And then Elizabeth, you say it.
Chowder. Now you're making me conscious. Was that you want me to say chowder?
Well, this is, I would say this is the headline of the program.
Yeah.
The Irish people don't like the American chowder.
Yeah.
I think that's...
This just
Caroline
is.
Was good.
We haven't had a good one yet, that's all.
No,
really?
I have not had a good one, yeah.
Well,
now I don't order it anymore because I'm afraid.
You must go up to Southern Maine and you must try the fresh chowder from... The deep blue, and it is so delicious.
That's what I'm Kerry. You go down to Dingle or Castle Gregory, like they catch the fish right there in front of you at the pier, and like that's the crab that's going into, you know what I mean? It's amazing. So,
I was just going to say, I'm going on my honeymoon to Ireland next year. And
are you
now,
really?
Yes.
Oh, good for
we're
you.
We're going to Ireland because it's my dream. And so, where should I go for chowder then?
Oh my God, anywhere in Ireland,
anywhere.
Especially anywhere in Kerry, you know.
Near the coast.
Anywhere near the coast. It's going to be fresh, you know. A cousin of mine owns a restaurant in Dingle and his is more consommé based, you know, so like because usually it's thick, it's a real thick creamy dish, but even his is lovely.
I'm going to go see your cousin on my honeymoon.
I'll give you his it's Mulville down in Dingle in I forget the name of his, it used to be the Goat Street Tavern, but I think it's not called that anymore. It's in an old church, you'll love it.
Elizabeth Stack is here from the Irish American Heritage Museum, which is now in Albany. Caroline Stark is here, and she is also with the Irish American Heritage Museum. The number to call on this Food Friday is 800-348-2551. I'm filling time because Jackie, as usual, is eating. Let's take let's take a call. Dan in Dalton. Dan, you're on.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I've been over to Ireland several times, and I must say the chowder there is absolutely outstanding. It's the best I've had.
Thank you, Dan.
And I grew up. I grew up spending my summers on the Cape, and I've been up to Maine a lot, and I've even been to New Zealand and had chowder.
Mm-hmm.
And the best chowder I ever had, I think, was in Ballybong.
Oh.
On the
Is that down in Cork?
On the west coast.
Yeah.
What's the name of it? Ballybong?
No, it's to the north. It's just south of Galway.
Oh, yeah, Ballybong.
Right near the Cliffs of Moher, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Clare, Galway, kind of
that was the best.
Yeah. Oh, it's delicious. Yeah. You know, I do. That's kind of the only thing. Well, an Irish chocolate. I miss Irish chocolate.
Mm-hmm. But, now, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Irish chocolate's
in
better than American?
It
is. Is that a thing? Did you taste the chocolate when you were over there, Den? Is he gone?
Not that I remember.
Oh my God! Yeah, yeah. So
no, but the brown bread is how hard is it to make that brown bread?
The brown bread it's easy enough. You just have to get the whole wheat flour, and you know, not to shamelessly plug anybody else, but I know there are a few businesses around that sell Irish. You know, so that lady in Troy, is it the 20 counties of Ireland or something? Like, she sometimes will have that whole wheat flour. Because I don't know if there's American, you know, whole wheat flour or not.
What?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Well, you know? Yeah, you can get it at co-ops and stuff.
Oh, you
like
can?
That.
Well, then, yeah. So, like, it's, you know, I was saying we know the Odlums brand, you know. So you need whole wheat flour and a little bit of white flour with salt and some water and yeast. But molasses is your secret ingredient there.
So, oh, molasses.
Like, yeah.
Oh, so molasses is the key. That's what gives
That's
it a little
it,
bit
like,
of sweetness.
Exactly. Yeah. Or treacle, you know, but about a tablespoon of that. And I will say, some people put a bit of Guinness in their bread, but like, don't go nuts. You know, plain food is better.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like too much.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551. I got to tell you, what is this bread?
That is the white soda. I'm answering like I made it. That is the white soda bread.
This is fantastic.
Isn't it fabulous?
So good.
Did you make this?
Truthfully, no. Oh.
Not me either.
No.
Did the soda bread man?
Harold made it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, kudos to Harold.
Credit to Harold.
That's very nice stuff.
It's delicious.
I have a question. All right. St. Paddy's Day is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Can you teach us some Irish phrases?
We can.
Let's. Yay.
So, happy St. Patrick's Day is Bannachtaí Lá Féile Pádraig.
You got that, Ray? Go ahead.
I know.
Say it again.
Raise your.
So, Bannachtaí.
Bannachtaí.
Lá Féile.
Lá Féile.
Pádraig.
Pádraig.
Excellent.
Lovely. Well,
there
you go. Nice. I can teach you, you know, sláinte is what you say when you're drinking.
Say
means
it again.
Good health. Sláinte.
Oh, I know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sláinte. I don't know.
So that just means good health. And
I learned that on Dairy Girls, actually.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
And Cead Míle Fáilte is welcome. 100,000 welcomes.
Yeah. Oh,
Cead
great.
Míle Fáilte.
Mm-hmm.
And then
we'll teach you the bad words afterwards.
That's what I was going to say.
On a break.
In the break, the swear words, please. We're joined today by Caroline Stark of County Derry and Elizabeth Stack of County Kerry. And we welcome your calls. Whatever county you're in, 800-348-2551. Eric, who is in Schenectady County. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, you're on.
Yep, I've been waiting to make this call for about 2 or 3 years because you guys are always talking about corned beef on St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, when are they going to talk about bacon and cabbage? Because I went over there last year and it was the greatest stuff ever. Now, you're talking about the different cuts of meat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pork shoulder or pork butt that they have over here.
Yes, okay.
And in Ireland, it's pre-brined, so you have to brine it here for like 2 days.
Ah.
And then you boil it and you throw in the cabbage for the last 20 minutes, and it's the most wonderful thing in the world.
So
yeah.
Brining is the key then.
Okay. Because ours is
salty.
Using
regular bacon.
Mm-hmm.
They call it bacon over there. Anything pork is basically bacon.
Yeah.
Right.
It's probably more a ham.
American bacon they call stripy bacon, right?
Yeah, that's right, streaky bacon.
Streaky bacon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this would be more akin to like a Canadian bacon.
That's exactly right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep. Yeah. You just brine it for 2 or 3 days. Google's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, good. I'm glad you had it.
Eric, thanks a lot for that one. 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday, and we're joined today by Elizabeth Stack and Caroline Stark, Ray Graff and Jackie Orchard on a Food Friday. And well, I got to tell you, this is this bread is the highlight for me.
I know.
This is just amazing stuff.
I love the like the texture of the bread because the crust is crusty and the inside is soft. Oh my God, it's delicious. Now, and it's even better with butter. So next time we'll bring the butter.
Back to the butter, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I wish someone had brought butter.
I know, or jam, you know.
If only there was a producer who thought ahead.
Purell. You want to try that? Yeah. No? All right, let's go over to Eleanor in Niskayuna. Hello, Eleanor.
Hello, how are you?
Good, welcome.
I'm asking a question that I've wrestled with for years. Is there a typical dessert for an Irish meal?
Oh, good question.
Whiskey.
Yes. Whiskey. You know, Irish coffee. We do sometimes give Irish coffee as a dessert.
Trifle.
Trifle is very Irish,
I love trifle.
Trifle's very Irish.
So like sherry trifle, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we, that's like a sponge, and then you put fruit on top and jelly or jello, you know, as you guys would have. But you soak the sponge in sherry, and then you put custard on top, and it's kind of layered. It's beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I would say like apple tart is very traditional. I call it tart, but I suppose it's a pie, you know, so it's the crust, pie crust on both sides. Again, there's debates in Ireland. My grandmother makes it very plain with like cooking apples and then drowned them in caster sugar, you know, to make them sweet. But some people put cloves in, and, you know, we do not use cinnamon in our apples, which is amazing, like, because Americans really like cinnamon. But so you can put cloves or not, or cinnamon
thing?
Or not. Yeah, yeah. Well, I never had cinnamon.
Well, let's talk to Caroline. I think she's more of on our wavelength.
Yeah.
You ever use cinnamon? She's been here longer.
I do. I bake apple pie and I do use cinnamon on it.
But is that since you came here?
Yes. That's really since I came here. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
30 odd years.
Those are wonderful ideas.
And rice pudding too, Eleanor. You know, we use a lot of rice pudding.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Thanks.
We have to take a break here. Caroline Stark and Elizabeth Stack and Jackie Orchard and Ray Graff and you at 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. We'll be back. Nothing says St. Patty's Day than some classic Allman Brothers here on Vox Pop. It's Food Friday, and we talk Irish food today with Caroline Stark and Elizabeth Stack of the Irish American Heritage Museum. We, I think, Jackie, have an email.
This is from Jane. She says, I traveled to Ireland to visit our ancestral home in West Meath and fell in love with the brown bread served in Ireland. What is different about the ingredients versus white soda bread?
Mm.
One's brown, right?
And we're all eating both of those things right now.
It's wheat flour.
It's whole wheat flour. So, and it's brown in appearance. But I was saying you put a little bit of treacle or molasses into the brown bread too. And it's, you know, you can make it with yeast instead of with soda, baking soda.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
There you go, Jane.
Number is 800-348-2551. All right, Caroline, you've been here about 30 years. Elizabeth, you've been here...
11, I think.
Oh, 11 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've seen many a St. Patrick's Day here in America.
Mm-hmm.
A little different, right? Over in Ireland?
Definitely. From when I was growing up, we didn't. St. Patrick's Day, you went to Mass, you wore shamrocks, and then you came home, and everything was closed.
You did wear shamrocks, though.
We did wear shamrocks, yes.
So we didn't just completely make that up in America.
No, we wore shamrocks.
Fresh shamrock, you know, pinned.
Right, fresh shamrocks. Yeah,
big
not
them.
The plastic things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you see the neon green Lays and
the orange
Hawaiian
wigs.
Shirts and the wigs, I mean...
It's just disturbing in a way, isn't it?
How does that feel?
Well, it's just odd. You know, as you said, it was a holy day. You know, so like the bars in Ireland were closed until 1977. You know, it was not a party day. You know, now it's the middle of Lent. You know, so as kids, we were allowed break our fast. You know, so you could have candy. But I mean, the parades here, I think I do like. I've only been to New York and Albany. Oh, New Orleans, but that's a whole other thing. That's a party, exactly. So, you know, I like the kind of structured formality of the parade, you know, because they're paying kind of homage, I suppose, to the Irish in the service. But at home, it's more community or like there's floats. It's a little bit less, you know, formal, I would say, the parade itself. Mm-hmm.
Number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Just a reminder, at 3 o'clock today, ordinarily we would have a fine program called The Best of Our Knowledge. However, President Trump will be having a press conference on the coronavirus pandemic. There, I've said the magic word. I thought we'd get a whole show done without saying coronavirus.
Nope.
But at 3 p.m., we'll be breaking our regular programming to go to that live, and we'll have live NPR coverage. Let's go to Karen in Heath, Mass. Karen, you're on.
Hi there. I was just calling referring to oxtail.
Yeah.
Up until very recently, I didn't know what it was until our customers started asking for it. And I guess it's like it is the tail of we raise organic and pastured animals, so beef is what we have.
Okay.
And I guess there's a process to it, slow process, but it's absolutely delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also used medicinally.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what ailments, because we actually had a friend who had this doctor that needed to get some oxtail. And so...
Well, you know, those
that's
bone
just
broths.
That's what I know about.
Yeah. I was going to say. It's a wee very, bit like the
bone
broth.
Yeah. Yeah, the people use it as a kind
healing.
Of a tea. It is, yeah. You can like drink that water like a tea, and it's, you know, like a to zhuzh you up sort of.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Well, yeah.
Thanks, Karen.
So, yeah, I was just commenting on that I didn't even know that it came in a package.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, wow, what is that?
Oh, yeah, like dried powder soup. It's nice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Karen, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And let's see who's been waiting the longest. Nancy in Schenectady. Nancy, you're on.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
Good.
I'm calling about chowder. They mentioned how wonderful the chowder is in Ireland.
They are really slagging the American chowder, I tell you that.
I'm just, I've found that chowder varies greatly from one place here to another. Yeah. My concept of chowder always had to do with fish and potatoes, and then you can add other stuff besides. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was curious what in Ireland constitutes chowder.
That's exactly what it is. I think they kind of saute off carrots chopped very small and celery and onion, and then you'd add a potato or two to thicken it. And then your fish, it's a lot of shellfish, I will say. Like, so we put mussels and maybe clams or some prawns. I think a little bit of smoked haddock just to give it a kick. And then there's usually salmon or some other white fish like cod or plaice.
Mm.
And then a ton of stock and then cream at the end, you know, to thicken it. So it's white, mostly in appearance, mm-hmm. except for little flashes of the celery and the fish, the coloured fish. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Not at all. Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy. You know, if you go around the country, go down the East Coast, mm-hmm. you'll find different chowders throughout, out in Maryland or North Carolina or whatever.
Maryland,
you find them all different.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever had the Manhattan chowder?
Is that the red
That's
one?
The red
yeah,
one.
The red
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No?
I have had it.
I saw two scowls. So let's just move on. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And let's go now to Deb. Deb in Glenville. Deb, you're on.
Hi there. Actually, my sons and I were supposed to be traveling to Ireland today, but due to the travel restrictions, we rebooked for August. So we're not as bucked out as we were.
Good.
Today.
We lost you there. Deb, you still there?
Sounds like she was driving.
I think she's still there. Deb, hello. Are you there? Oh, we lost Deb.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, call us back, Deb, and we'll put you right on. Let's go over to Bill in Pine Plains. Bill, you're on.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Good. Hey, I was fortunate enough during the deer season to fill my freezer with venison. And I was wondering if there's something comparable to stag or venison in regard to an Irish dish.
Mm-hmm. We do eat that at home, venison. Have you eaten it?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Not at home. I eat it here, but not at home.
We do rarely, kind of. But, you know, you could definitely use it steaks, you know, just cook it normally. Or I would say that it would be fabulous in stew. Because I like that kind of gamey flavor. So beef stew that we normally do with, again, that brown, you know, kind of gravy or brown soup. That'd be fabulous with venison. Or if you do manage to mince it, you could make the shepherd's pie. It'd be a bit rich maybe in shepherd's pie, but it sounds fabulous.
Oh, excellent.
Probably use a little less if you're making the shepherd's pie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There you go, Bill. Thank you very much for that one. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And Jackie, you're awfully quiet over there.
It's because I'm eating. Still.
Well, let's talk about the beer.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just for a minute before we take our next call, and I think Deb is waiting for us. Everybody here, they slam down the Guinnesses like it's no tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Is there some secret stout or secret beer over there that I should know about over here?
Well, you know, we're having a lot of craft breweries at the moment at home. There's a resurgence in the alcohol trade.
Yeah.
Because particularly with the distilleries, you know, a lot of those have been confined in the early 20th century to just one or two.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend if you can get your hands on a Dingle Gin.
Dingle Gin?
Gin, yeah. It's very floral, kind of a lot of botanicals. It won Gin of the Year last year.
Really?
And they make a whiskey too. And then there's a lot of craft beers are coming up, you know. But the Guinness, I suppose, is still my favorite.
You really do like the Guinness.
I do. Actually, I prefer Murphy's. I don't know if you can get that over here. There's a slight coffee, you know, roasted coffee taste. It's a stout as well from Cork, but very small brewer now.
One of the local brewers makes a coffee stout that's very good around here.
Yeah, there's a lot of craft, you know, beers here and stouts. Yeah, oatmeal and chocolate and stuff. It's amazing.
All right, let's now try Deb in Glenville. Hello, Deb. Are you there?
I am so sorry. I'm in the car, and I must have lost you.
That's okay.
Thank you for taking my call again. As I said, we rebooked our flight to Ireland for August, and being that this is our first time going, I was hoping that maybe you could recommend some specialty that we shouldn't miss when we're there.
Oh, well, I think if you don't mind eating bacon, you should definitely have bacon and cabbage.
Chowder
for sure. Yeah, you and all of the breads. You know, anywhere you go, you'll get lovely bread.
The full Irish breakfast is
always
delicious.
Our breakfast. Now it's kind of you'll be in a food coma after it. Right. You know, so
now you have my attention. Yeah. All right, Deb, hang in here. Let's find out what the full Irish breakfast is.
Mm-hmm. Off you go.
Bacon.
Yeah.
Check.
Sausages.
Sausages are delicious.
Mm-hmm. Eggs.
Fried
tomato. Fried mushroom.
Baked beans.
Yeah. Oh, it's a meal. You know, it's two meals. Yeah.
Potato farls. Loads of bread.
Did you bring any of that?
No. You would love Irish sausages too. They're lovely.
They are.
Yeah. And I would have some candy if I were you. And I think you should try, like, I love our stews. Chicken stew or Irish stew, you know, is very nice too, because it's, again, hearty. You know, people complain about the Irish all the time that we don't have good food, but actually we do. You know, it's very fresh. Most of it is organic and kind of locally sourced. So it really, we've been farm to table, you know, for years before it became popular. So our soups are delicious,
soups
you know.
Are very good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Deb, I hope you're allowed to
go.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, we are. I was just going to say we're staying in Airbnbs that have kitchens, and both my sons are great cooks.
Oh, good.
And so we're looking forward to doing some cooking.
Yeah.
We might even go to a cooking class somewhere. So,
oh, that's great. Ballymaloe really in Cork is famous for their cooking classes. You know, you can take one or two, you know. She's kind of the one who put Irish cuisine on the map, Myrtle Allen. Mm-hmm. So
well,
great. Enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Good, not at all.
Thanks, Deb.
Enjoy your trip.
I recommend the full Irish breakfast, Deb, just to try that. Number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Rick in Delmar. Hello, Rick. How you doing?
Hey, great. How you doing today?
Good.
Good. I'm enjoying the show very much. I have a question about drink, specifically beer. I heard you touch on it real quick while I was on hold.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between a half and half or a black and tan. Are the ladies familiar with what I'm talking about when you get a stout and an ale mixed together?
Yeah. So
they look pretty familiar.
They both have very impish looks right now.
We don't drink that in Ireland, you know, to be honest. I've never tasted it. And I sort of would not recommend that you order a black and tan in an Irish pub. You know, they were the name, that was the name of the soldiers that the British sent over during the War of Independence. And there was a lot of, you know, terrible atrocities that they committed. So you could call it maybe a half and half. But to be honest, Irish people, particularly barmen, feel very strongly about their Guinness. You know, so like there's the perfect pour. It's not poured in one go. You have to let it sit and then top it up. So I think most barmen would weep if you asked them to dilute the Guinness with anything else, you know.
I think an Irish bartender here in the Delmar area where I live explained that to me quite clearly.
Oh, yeah. Is that O'Slattery's over there?
So half, yes, O'Slattery's. Yeah. Yes, a wonderful place, it neighborhood is, place. I live near there.
Good.
I imagine they'll be packed on St. Patrick's Day, which
is good.
Well,
let's hope, yeah.
Only 50% capacity is allowed.
But yeah, he said black and tan reminds him of the soldiers from the old days.
Yeah.
But it is called in Ireland a half and half.
Okay,
and
he said,
Traditionally, if you call it a black and tan in England, it would be Bass, Ale, and Stout. Mm. But in Ireland, perhaps Smittix.
Yeah.
It's certainly referred to as a half and half, not a black and tan.
Mm-hmm. See, I wouldn't ruin the Smithwick's either. That's a nice kind of red ale type drink.
Yeah, very delicious, yeah.
We do a lot of what, I can't remember what they call them now, you know, where you do like beer with half 7-Up kind of thing?
I'm sorry,
a
what?
A shandy.
Yeah.
With so, half 7-Up?
Yeah, or like a third, lager, you know. Yeah, if you're driving and you can't really have, you know, the full thing. So, yeah.
That is the most Irish thing I've ever heard you say.
Drink, you know?
If I'm driving, I'll dilute my drink. Yeah. I'm still going to drink.
Well, you can have, you know, up to one drink an hour or whatever it is. But yeah, or like, I don't like the taste of beer much. So I would sometimes put, it's a shandy. I forgot that you would put 7-Up in the top of your beer, you know.
Do you ever put Dr. Pepper in your beer?
No.
Oh, it's delicious.
Dr. Pepper's kind of medicinal.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, all good.
Of
okay.
Course,
yeah. It tastes like medicine to me.
We don't do that over here unless we've had way too many.
Okay.
Stan, who's driving a truck. Hello, Stan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You're up.
Oh, hey. My question is, do you ladies have any recipes for duck or goose?
Oh, do you have? No. Oh,
you couldn't hear? Duck or goose. Duck, do you have a good recipe for that?
No.
So I was going to say, a lot of no.
Caroline,
no.
A lot
Sorry.
Of people roast goose for Christmas instead of turkey, which is interesting. You know, so.
I was just. Well,
go ahead,
Stan.
Is there an Irish twist?
No, I would say not. From what I know, people, like, you put your hand under the skin and on top of the meat and, like, slather butter in there, you know?
We do that in America, too.
Okay, good. And then some people, I think, put either an orange or an onion into the body, the cavity of the bird, you know, just to give that a little bit of flavor. Lemon you could use. Duck, we also roast. And they do, like, duck à l'orange is popular in restaurants, you know, so, yeah.
Ah, Kerrygold, love it all.
Exactly, yeah. It's an Kerry essential thing.
You know, that's so funny you brought that up. Stan, thanks for the call. I was lamenting during the last break about the fact that Jackie forgot to get butter for the show.
Here we go.
And we were talking about the fact that you can, if you look around, find the Irish butter.
Yes. All three of us have Kerrygold at our house. That's the brand of butter.
It's really good.
It comes in a little green container and it's amazing.
Well, you buy the spread, so I buy the gold one,
the
foil. Yeah,
okay.
So it's not,
I get the more
spreadable. Yeah, but I leave a little bit out. We don't put it in all of it in the fridge at home. You know, you put it on a dish and just leave it out so that it's room temperature.
Mm-hmm. And what makes it better? What is it?
Oh,
it's grass-fed cows.
You think so?
Oh my God, we're both of you at the same time.
Yeah,
grass-fed cows.
It's, you know, it's very pure. It's kind of unadulterated, isn't it? You know, and get the salted version,
man,
kids. It's okay.
Talk about butter all day.
I know.
Shame we don't have any butter.
I want to know, what family dishes did you two grow up with that are very near and dear to your heart? Maybe the St. Paddy's Day, what are you going to be making for your families?
Mm. You go first.
Caroline.
I'm trying to think what we...
Or maybe probably, it's not food,
probably,
maybe it's a drink.
Irish stew would be the
Irish
closest
stew?
Thing.
Yeah. And how would you do it?
What's the beef? Lamb is not that. My husband doesn't like lamb, so we do beef and with carrots, potatoes, and
celery
stock. No.
Oh no. Yeah.
Onion.
Mm-hmm.
How thick is it? How thick is the stock when it's all done?
It's pretty thick.
Yeah.
A
thin.
The thicker the better.
A thin one would not be good. I mean,
no,
it would not be as
good.
Good,
thick,
hearty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And will you make soda bread with it?
Well, I would more the wheaten bread.
The brown.
The brown bread.
Brown bread.
All right, very quickly here, let's grab another call. Patrick in Vermont. Patrick, you have about a minute here, sir. All right, or even less. Are you there? Patrick, are you with us?
Oh, Patrick's gone.
Oh, Patrick. Oh, boy. Oh, we lost Patrick completely. As well as the rest of the audience. Hey, tell us how we can find out more about the Irish American Heritage Museum. Are you on the web?
We are. We have www.irish-us.org, and we have a Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter page. So yeah, we're quite accessible. We do a monthly newsletter for our members and people who subscribe, you know, so yeah, we're very
active.
Are
you open 7 days a week?
5. We close Mondays and Tuesdays, like, you know, some of the other museums. But we open at the weekend. Now this weekend we're closed because of the virus, I should say. You know, it's on.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It is. It's kind of
Have you talked
to
your family in Ireland? about
yeah,
this?
Yeah, so they're kind of panicking a little bit because they're on lockdown over yeah. there. So I just, you know, I got a message from my brother this morning that the buses and trains might be stopped, and he's in Dublin. My family live in Kerry. My father is here, and so he's trying to get home. Maybe my mom wants him home, but yeah. you know, we'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Well, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being here, Elizabeth Stack and Caroline Stark.
Support comes from Pike Global Foods, bulk ingredients for makers of chocolates, pastries, confections, and baked goods. Wholesale and online direct at pikeglobalfoods.com. And also Racebrook Lodge, offering jazz brunches and candlelit dinners in the historic Stagecoach Tavern. Barn space, concert events, intimate speakeasy concerts, and all-inclusive overnight packages, rblodge.com.
Yeah, well done. You're hired. Hey, both of you, thank you so much for being here. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks to our engineer, Zachary Malloy. Fine job this week, sir. Thanks to Susie Chekai, who took the calls. Our producer, today's co-host, Jackie Orchard. Thank you, Jackie. I'm Ray Graff. Now have a safe, happy weekend. Try to relax. Turn off the news for a few minutes. Think about something else. You won't watch sports, but yeah, you do something. And we'll be back, presumably, with a Medical Monday at 2 p.m. Have a great weekend. Stand by now for the president speaking from the White House about the coronavirus pandemic.